The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In an attempt to escape her heartbreaking past and to start anew, a children's author moves to a small town with her son. And that's when the action really starts. I'm joined by Linwood Barclay, author of Whistle, which is his latest book. Linwood, good morning and welcome.
Hello, Pat. How are you doing?
It's good to talk to you. Now, this is a bit of a departure from you. It was not what I expected.
Well, I hope that's a good thing.
It is a very good thing.
Yes, it is. I guess people have come to expect a certain thing in the thrillers that I write. And I think you'll find everything that you like in my other thrillers in Whistle. You know, there's lots of suspense and lots of twists, and it's, you know, it moves right along briskly. But this time I've thrown in a little bit more into the stew, which is it's a bit supernatural and a bit of horror in Whistle. So in that sense, it is a little different than what people have read from me in the past.
Now, you and Stephen King are fans of each other's work, it turns out.
It's true. I had always been a huge Stephen King fan. And then, 10, 12 years ago, I found out that he was a fan of my work. And so the very first reader of Whistle was not even my editors or publishers or even my spouse. The first reader was Mr. King. I emailed him and said, I had been working on this. And when I had my first draft done, I said, would you like to read it? And he said, I'd love to. He says, but can you print it out? Because he didn't want to have to read it on a screen. So I sent it off to him. And so we have what we'd call a very brief review on the front of the book. It says, terrific. Stephen King. So that's all I need. I don't think we needed any more words than that.
Now, the book sort of has a prologue, which I think sets the scene for events that unfold later, and we don't want to give too much away, but we can talk about the prologue because it's the first thing that readers are going to come across, and it's no spoiler. But it's Christmas 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a couple of kids in a house, and has Santa delivered or has he not?
Well, you know, around the tree that morning, first of all, this little girl, she received some, you know, very trendy new doll. But her brother, he's received a box of used old toy trains that his dad got from a coworker. And at first, he's not very excited about this.
He wanted a PlayStation.
He wanted video games. He didn't want anything. I mean, trains, that's what stuff his dad played with. But once he opens up this box, something very strange happens. Once he starts connecting the track and putting the train on it, he gets the oddest sensation from handling and holding these trains. And thinks just for a moment, even as he looks into the cab of the engine, he almost gets the sense that he can see this little engineer looking at him. Or when he looks at the headlight, it feels like it's communicating. And his sister, who's just something of a tormentor, she pretty much kicks it off the tracks as she goes off to the kitchen. And as the train starts ripping around the base of the tree, it has a kind of almost hypnotic, mesmerizing effect on him. And he looks at this doll that his sister got for Christmas, and he ties it to the tracks the way you would in one of those old serial movies. And when the train comes barreling around the corner and hits this doll, in the room next door where his sister's in the kitchen, there comes a terrible scream from her. And her parents have to rush her to the hospital to see if they can get this finger reattached that somehow came off in a horrible kitchen accident. And that's when we start to get a sense that there's something very different and perhaps very evil about this box of old toy trains.
And that's the prelude to a story that involves this train set, but we'll come to that in a moment. Your principal protagonist is Annie Blunt, who is a children's author.
Yes. Yes, Annie is a children's author and illustrator, and her story takes place in the present day. And Annie lives in Manhattan. She has a very successful career doing a series of books about Pierce the Penguin. And Penguin, who is tired of just being in Antarctica and wants to see the world. And so she does a series of books where, you know, Pierce the Penguin goes to Paris or he goes to London and he travels the world. And in one of his books, Pierce, inspired by some of the old drawings attributed to Leonardo da Vinci, creates a set of wings for himself out of cardboard that would allow him to fly. And a young child inspired by this tries the same thing, and there's an accident that ends very horrendously, very tragic. And Annie is devastated that this sort of innocent children's book has led to this terrible tragedy. And that's when Annie and her son Charlie decide to get out of Manhattan and get away from all of this.
Yeah. Now, she's carrying with her a heartbreak because her husband John has also met with an accident. The milieu you create, I mean, the whole business of the cartoon world in which her husband worked and all of that, I reckon that in spite of the horror elements of this, it must have been great fun to write.
Oh, it was. I had more fun writing Whistle than probably anything I've done in the last 10 years. Part of that was because it was a departure. It was something new. And every once in a while, you, as an author, you get to write a book that's kind of like lightning in a bottle, like it all just comes together for you. It doesn't require an immense amount of rewriting. You kind of get it right the first time. It's, to use the cliche, it kind of writes itself. And Whistle was like that. You know, I wrote it between September of 2023 and January of 2024. And I think it's the most ambitious book I've ever done. It's certainly the longest. It's longer than most of my thrillers and has a bit of an epic sense of it, because while we tell Annie's story in the present, very large chunks of the book take place back in 2001 that sort of set up the history of this this particular set of trains.
Now, this is, I suppose you'd call it loosely magic realism, would you?
I don't know if they'd quite call it that or not. And I know what you mean by magic realism. We've been calling this book a chiller. You know, we like the word thriller, but because we've added supernatural horror elements to that, we've been calling it a chiller. And maybe we have a new category. I don't know. But you know, one of the challenges in doing this novel was, you know, in the horror genre, when you have toys that are somehow infused with evil, they're almost always dolls. Maybe they're a mechanical monkey that plays the drums, or maybe it's a rocking horse like the Rocking Horse Winner. But the challenge was, could you make toy trains creepy and scary?
You have succeeded. You have.
Well, that's so gratifying to hear, because, you know, when you set out writing it, when I set out to do it, I thought, well, is it just going to be silly? And the challenge was to take what might have seemed silly and make it very dark and very scary. And the responses so far would seem to indicate that I managed to pull that off.
Now, the author in this case, Annie Blunt, decides to take her son Charlie to this. It sounds like an idyllic place. It probably does not exist. I'm not sure whether such a small town exists. But anyway, it's idyllic on the face of it. And I was thinking when I was reading about this, of the decision that your parents made to take you out of the United States and go to Canada. What a wonderful decision to have made.
who could have known in 1959 when they did that would be a wise move? You know, I have dual citizenship. I have a Canadian and a U.S. passport, and I've lived in Canada since I was 3 years old and have never lived in the U.S., but would go down frequently to visit and to travel. But I don't wish to do that these days either.
Yeah, can you characterize the mood of yourself and your fellow Canadians and even Americans who have migrated to Canada in multitudes? What is the mood?
The mood in Canada, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, Donald Trump has done more to unite Canadians than anything since the Canada-Russia hockey series back in the 70s or 80s or whenever it was. I mean, His demeaning of the former prime minister, his talk of a 51st state, his imposition of tariffs. I mean, we are the closest of neighbors, and we have helped each other out over the years. I mean, there's an entire musical, Come From Away, which is about this small town in Newfoundland that took in all of those Americans whose planes couldn't return to North America or to the United States on September 11th. And we have this long history of helping each other out. And now we have this president who's treating us with contempt and disregard. And the depth of anger in Canada is immeasurable. I mean, The number of Canadians who were traveling south of the border is down about 30% or more. And all of the grocery stores even now have little red maple leaves attached in parts of the shelf to indicate which products are Canadian made. So if you have an opportunity to buy a Canadian product instead of the American, you will. All of the American made beers and alcohols and spirits are now off all of the store shelves in Canada. We don't sell them anymore because we're not happy and we're not putting up with it. And so you can't measure just the level of anger that exists right now in the country against the Trump administration.
Long may you prosper in Canada and, of course, in your forays down south. Because, of course, in talking about your book, you're going to have to visit the United States and let your ardent fans know
I think
about your latest work.
I won't have to for this one. Where I'm going to content with doing the promotions that I've been doing for it in other places. If I have some Zooms and stuff I can do, but we're choosing to not spend any of our, at least us personally, any of our dollars south of the border these days.
Well, Linwood, it's a pleasure once again talking to you. The new book is called Whistle. It's published by HQ, an imprint of HarperCollins. It's a great chiller, as we're now going to call it, and it's available where good books are sold everywhere. Linwood Barclay, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.